So, on to the next step. Councillors, we go to the next item on the agenda, page 181, club liquor licence in relation to the barn at Perry Bar Farm. On page 181. Councillor Crossland to move.
I'd like to move as printed. I'm just trying to find out that we...
Can staff advise the sort of last drinks time?
Through the chair, sorry, could I get a re-clarification on the question? I've just missed that.
The licence extends to what time? I can see where it says the applicant originally sought up to midnight.
10 p.m.
Oh, 10 p.m. Yeah. Oh, yes, it's on the first page in the executive summary there.
Correct.
So, Councillor Crossland? I'll just check what the implications of that might be, Mr. Harides.
Through the chair, that actually is correct, and that was checked and verified, so I'm not sure what has been missed between now and the report, because that amendment, I do know, was picked up and made and is in line with the discussions and engagement that we've had with the club and against the content of the broader consultation and what we do at other venues.
So, just to be really clear, Mr. Harides, was the consultation with stakeholders as to an 11:30 time for last drinks?
Sorry, Your Worship, it was actually...
Till midnight, but where are we saying that 11:30 is being put in there because of the feedback from community?
No.
Oh, Mr. Yes. Harides?
Through the chair, whilst the consultation was running through until midnight, there was some feedback through the consultation that might be excessive. Some further discussions were held with the Lions Club, who had no issue despite the initial request being to midnight, to 12 a.m, meeting an 11:30 p.m. Compromise or reduction.
And I just note that the 10 o'clock time is echoed in the letter prepared on Appendix 4. So is it the intention in moving the motion that would also read 11:30 p.m? Councillor Crossland, yes. All right. So we're back with Councillor Crossland to move.
Accepted those changes. The second thing I'd like to point out is this is a council facility which already has a curfew of midnight.
Thank you. Which already has a curfew of midnight. So that whatever events the Lions Club have at that facility, they have to actually leave the building by midnight quietly. So there was no point in actually having a midnight license because they have to be left by that time. I've looked at the feedback from residents, and they do talk about incidents happening previously 5 or 6 years ago. I can confirm that the Lions Club were not residents at that time. They weren't hiring the hall. And sad to say that a lot of those incidents actually didn't involve alcohol, but they actually were connected with a particular organisation running young people discos from that site, and obviously had a lot of issues when they finished the disco with people running amok into people's gardens, etc. The average age of the Lions is probably about 75. I don't expect they'll be having any major discos or running amok after their events. They assure me that they adhere to that curfew, and I expect that they will. As a side thing, I noticed one of the residents has said that this is a commercial opportunity for the Lions to make money. This is a club license for them to have events themselves at the facility. The Lions Club donates 50,000-60,000 a year to the community. They don't make a profit for their own benefit. And I'll just move the motion with those just additions that, sorry, I thought we'd have amended them already. That's why I was a bit confused.
I think we have those references to 11:30 now. And Councillor Crossland, with your permission, to be clear to everyone, I'm suggesting that, well, I understand your motion, number one, instead of being supports the liquor licence in its current form, that it should be supports the liquor licence for the following operating hours, Monday to Sunday, 12 p.m. to 11:30 p.m. inclusive.
Thank you, Your Worship. Yeah, that's always better in the actual motion. It makes it clear.
Thank you. It will help members of the public reading the minutes, etc. And that's just a direct copy from what's in the executive summary just above. All right, so seconded, Councillor Gard. Do you wish to speak? You might want to grab your microphone back.
Indeed. Thank you, the twins. Terrible twins. I just wanted to ascertain if some of the local residents are on the wrong track or were on the wrong track when they were assuming by their feedback that this would be virtually every day of the week. That's what it felt like in reading it, whereas these are just booked events and occasional. How occasional, we're not to know. But there's a dramatic difference between, because someone alluded to the Hallett Cove Cobras and, well, the sports club up there in general, which is open a lot more, and there's really no comparison. So I just wondered if we could perhaps broadcast that a little.
Could staff take that on board, that the communications need to convey that the liquor licence hours are the maximum possible and they in no way foreshadow that there'll be a party on seven nights a week. And perhaps that could be conveyed back to the Lions as well, so that they can include that in their messages to the local community. So we've had a mover and seconder, a question or speaking in opposition. Councillor Pryor.
Just a quick question. Does this facility have a permanent bar?
No, it's normally that there is a kitchen typical of the kind that's set up in many community halls.
And that perhaps would alleviate some of the fears of the residents, which may be that it's going to be a party house from Monday through Sunday. I think a venue like that without a permanent bar would not necessarily look to serve drinks every night. And I think that does fit in keeping with the event licence. The only other question I've got is a question that's been posed before, perhaps rhetorical, of what sort of event structure we're talking about, whether we're talking about monthly events or every second night.
Come back to Mr. Haridis.
Through the chair, and to also pick up some of your earlier point, the report, and this was conveyed, is clear on page 182 that residents were advised that there's no intention of turning their tenancy into a bar. I'd take the point on being even further explicit, but I know that those conversations were had and there is an awareness of that particular point. And furthermore, that a lot of the primary use of this is odd events and board meetings and get-togethers of the club, and that was also conveyed. So there isn't a current program suggesting an increased use or a transition to a bar or party location, as some of the commentary suggests, or concerns, some of the concerns that are raised.
Right.
And if we were to revoke this licence in the future, How would that process work? Can we just say, sorry, you're not licensed anymore, or is there a period whereby we have to honour the licence?
If we thought that there was a party going on every night of the week.
Parties were going on every night of the week.
Party House Hallett Cove. Mr. Greenis, what would we do?
Through the chair, I'd have to take some of the technicality on that on notice, because there have been some recent amendments to the Liquor Licensing Act and the requirements that sit around that, but we can come back and distribute that information to the chamber.
Is there anyone speaking against? Well, then we can simply put it to a vote. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you.
Your Worship, just one point, just to clear it, which just for Councillor Pryor's benefit, we're actually not agreeing to the licence. We're just, as landlords, recommending that the Weald accept it. So the licence is completely separate. They still have to make that application.
Thank you for the clarification. So on page 190, the second budget review, I've got one question. Any questions from members? Perhaps I'll just ask my question. So this goes back to, I have done the proper thing by raising it in emails, but I haven't got a complete answer at this point, so it's quite relevant to a budget review. In the lead up to the last federal election, I spoke to Nicole Flint, the member for Boothby, about possible funding contributions, and one which she agreed to make as an election promise was a $70,000 contribution toward air conditioning at the Gymnastics SA Hall, which is part of Marion Leisure and Fitness Centre. Although it was no secret, there was a separate budget process and a process within our land and property unit that led to air conditioning for the hall being budgeted for and in fact installed toward the end of last year. So the $70,000, whether it's arrived or not, it's either on the way or arrived, and I took the view that what should occur is that the $70,000 from the federal government should be allocated towards that project, even if it's already been paid for, and a saving be recorded from what council had expended, because then that surplus money becomes a matter for elected members to reallocate through the budgetary process. Some staff have taken the view that, oh, we've got an extra $70,000 from Nicole Flint now, so we'll work out something else to spend it on. So could I have some clarification on how that matter has been resolved?
Through the chair.
Devanwell.
Yeah, I'm not sure how it actually has been resolved. The correct, what you actually say is the correct process. If there is, even if we had the funding within our budget, if we have received external grant funding for that particular project, we reduce our funding and have the savings. I think the land and property team are working with the club to resolve the matter at this point in time.
All right. If there aren't any other matters, would people like to just move that we accept the report? As in the recommendation is printed. Councillor Telfer, seconded Councillor Duncan. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you, and thanks, Mr. Barnwell. So hopefully that'll be cleared up between finance and land and property and the ELT. Just a quick news flash. Holdfast Bay have approved the Seacliff DPA without debate, so we're all on the same page with that one. We led the way. Next item, page 206, CEO performance and remuneration review timeline and approach. This has already been to the review and selection committee, who are happy with the process, very similar to what happens every year. Someone like to move accordingly? Councillor Clancy? Is that seconded? Councillor Schilling? If there aren't any questions, I'll put it to... there was a question. Councillor Crossland.
Sorry, it's just a suggestion. It may not be relevant to other people, but one of the KPIs is obviously the staff growth, wage growth, and although we're doing it on an annual basis, it means that we can have a high wage increase on or wage amount in 1 year and then meet the deadline the following year, but still we're over what the actual budget should have been if we'd kept the same timeline. I just wondered if it was worth having a five-year average in there so we can actually see that overall, I think in the situation at the moment is the CEO is actually still maintaining that line, if you look at it as an average, rather than seeing it as a peak and trough.
Thank you, Councillor. I will just stress that we're not setting the KPIs tonight. This is just the timeline. Any comment? So if there's an informal briefing and opportunity for discussion next month, that would be a good place to talk about potential changes to KPIs. Happy with that, Councillor Crossland, for now?
Yeah, and I might be jumping the gun. It might be coming up rather than on this item.
That's right. This is just the process purely, so it's not actually setting the KPIs now. And we've the actual KPIs, you'll see that there's a bit of a history of trying to link it with timing of budget and results and so forth. So there is a bit of science behind it. All right, if there are no more questions, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Now, the finance... Page 212, the Finance and Audit Committee, Terms of Reference and Elected Member Representative. Leaving aside the... I'll just be informal for a moment and ask for expressions of interest from any of the elected members. We're after two. We're after one, I beg your pardon, filling a casual vacancy. Yes, Councillor Clancy.
Can nominate a proxy on any meetings he's not available to attend, because I think you only need one elected member to have quorum.
He can arrange a proxy, or we must appoint a possible proxy?
Through the chair, the current terms of reference require two elected members. So if members wanted to amend that, however, and then allow for a proxy instead of actually having a second member, then that would be possible.
That would probably be a good way to do it. That just briefly, the history being that for quite a period there was just one elected member, but there had to be one elected member for quorum. So it placed enormous pressure on the person who took it on to attend without fail. So that's why we had the two, so that as long as one of them's there, the whole thing can continue with the quorum. But there is no reason why we couldn't amend the terms of reference to allow nominated or rather appointed elected members of the committee to nominate a proxy in their place if they're unable to attend. I don't think there's any reason why we couldn't do that, and that again would make it a bit easier to ensure that we never fail for a quorum. As long as there's power of the, as long as we're not giving up our power as an elected member body by allowing the actual elected member representative to effectively delegate or nominate a proxy.
That's correct.
So that's the problem, isn't it, Ms. McKenzie?
Yeah, so if you change the terms of reference to have a proxy, then council would still need to nominate who that proxy is rather than leaving it to the elected member to delegate it to whoever may be available on the day.
Right, thanks, Ms. McKenzie. But no reason why we couldn't have proxies. Can I ask members then, we have Councillor Gard on the committee at the moment. Do I have another member who's interested in attending? If there's absolutely nobody, then Councillor Crossland to the rescue. Is it worth asking of members then whether anybody's willing to be a proxy to existing members? Councillor Telfer could be a proxy. We can. Councillor Clancy is interested. Thank you. Councillor Pryor is interested. Great. We can have a proxy pool. There's no problem, as long as we follow due process. So for a start, I can see that we're not going to need an election because we've got one nomination for one vacancy. So that'll help formulate the motion, but in terms of the terms of reference, could Ms. McKenzie advise how would we incorporate proxies?
Through the chair, we have drafted something just quickly up on the screen. So the section is section 3.1 of the terms of reference that lists the membership, so you can have it listed as two elected member representatives and however many nominated proxies you would like. Just to be clear though, the proxies wouldn't have a voting right at the table unless one of the actual members was absent.
Mm-hmm. So what if we said and any number of nominated proxy members? All right. So we've got an amendment. The motion that is drafted now incorporates proxy members and it appoints Councillor Crossland. And if we have number three, nominates Councillors Telfer, Clancy, and Pryor as proxy members. Appoints. Yeah. Appoints. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. McKenzie. And Pryor. As nominated proxy members. Okay. Would someone like to move before people change their mind? Councillor Schilling. Look, I've had the motion moved. I'll take that from Councillor Schilling. But yeah, Councillor Gard, a question?
It's sort of a part question, part recommendation. Begin with the question first. Is it possible, under the objectives, to give mention to the ratepayer? Because to my surprise, when I went through the terms of reference, it all seemed to be internal to the workings of the City of Marion without mention of representation of ratepayers. And if I could just refer members and management to point 2.1 under the heading objectives, if it runs on that page, it's page 214. What I was suggesting is that at the end of the second sentence of the first paragraph, we add the words, and in accordance with the general interests of ratepayers. So you've got that link between ratepayers, what we need to do with each other, and so on. I know it's a little motherhoody, but I just feel it's remiss not to mention ratepayers in the Finance and Audit Committee.
In terms, Councillor Gard, in terms of that actual sentence, I'm not sure that it adds any meaning if we're using resources efficiently and effectively. And I do notice that 2.2, Mr. Scholes just pointed out, as part of Council's governance obligations to the community, we have the... So... Can I put it this way? If you want to persist, it could be an amendment.
Actually,
but
I think that last point is the clincher, that the two points together that you make, and the fact that we do mention community as a bracket, probably community is more accurate than ratepayers, because there's visitors to the City of Marion as well.
And we know that the elected member representatives on the committee are ratepayer champions. That's not going to change. Councillor Schilling, did you wish to say any more? You've moved. Seconded, Councillor Duncan. Did you wish to say any more? Then anyone in opposition? I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Now, the risk management policy and framework review. Any questions?
Can I move in block for reports?
The next one is the shopping trolley.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting that one. I was going to move in block R12, which is the risk management policy, Squire board, R14, finance, January, R15, and WHS, R16. All of which don't have additions or amendments.
I'll just check with staff that there's no sort of not necessarily any decision making required there. Not to do with the Swara chair.
Just noting.
So thank you, Councillor Telfer. I'll just ask the staff have that in hand.
That's fine.
That's moved. Councillor Telfer and seconded Councillor Schilling. Councillor Telfer, did you wish to add anything?
No, they are the items that are involved in good governance, and I just commend them to you as being orderly.
Thank you. Any more from Councillor Schilling? A question from Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor, in regards to the risk management policy, has the General Manager of Corporate Services, or for that matter, the Audit Committee, considered what we heard earlier tonight from a deputation, that there is a Minter-Ellison report that local government can take on board in regards to their responsibilities in regard to risk as it applies to climate change?
Anyone want to management want to answer?
I'll answer that question. Thank you, Chair. The presentation by Minter was presented to a number of councils in the part of the Resilient South program. Its climate is referenced in our risk management framework as a high risk. And so I believe, in answer to your question, that we definitely have the climate risk on the program and on the agenda, whether it's for development decisions, for infrastructure developments, etc.
Councillor Hull?
Will that take form as having a header in all of our reports that actually makes an observation of climate change considerations in our report? Because you know, this is all part of the rhetoric that we're already doing it. So is that what we're going to go, well, that's what we're going to see going forward?
Through the chair, yes, it's already on our standard template that we use with staff when they are drafting their reports.
If there aren't any other questions, put the motion in respect of each one of those reports. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. So now we'll just come back to shopping trolley bylaw community consultation, page 247, and then we'll go on to elected members' motions. First of all, any questions? Then would someone like to move? Oh, sorry, a question. I had some questions first. Councillor Hull was first. Councillor?
Mr. Mayor, in the interim, if residents actually complain, or even going forward, if, you know, like not everybody's going to be apprehended in terms of this bylaw, if shopping trolleys are found to be abandoned on our footpaths and indeed in the middle of intersections and on roadways, will they be considered a risk, and it sort of relates to that last report as well, and dealt with accordingly? Because those vision impaired need not have to negotiate their way through a labyrinth of shopping trolleys.
Right. Let's hear from staff in relation to that, and I'll come back to you if you wish. Mr. Della Coombs.
Thank you, through the chair. So the process that, as I understand it, that's been established relates to not just the CSIS team, but also the op support from the depot. If residents or anyone for that matter does report a trolley to be in a hazardous location on a road blocking a footpath, down a slippery dip, wherever the case may be, my understanding is that the process engaged at the moment is that trolley is moved to a safer location and the trolley trackers are called and it is removed.
Mr. Mayor, where would that safer location be? Like, if it's on the footpath, where would you move it to?
Mr. Della Coombs.
Through the chair, that would be up to the individual officer locating that at the time. I would say they would make a site assessment and deem a safer location than what is currently the existing hazard. I would hazard to say they would use their initiative to put it in as best location as they can manage without doing further damage.
Hazard to say, pardon the pun.
Councillor Valesco.
Regards to the community engagement feedback, just might be someone for ops. This gentleman's name and phone number on page, one of the pages here. Is that something that we would normally have in the feedback? And there's also a few comments I'd find probably a little bit derogatory. I don't know whether that's something that we would perhaps sanitise, or do we just leave everything in there? And I guess, you know, where you draw the line, but...
That's possibly a governance question. Could you... Sorry, Councillor, could you just highlight the exact point where you saw that? Have you got a page number? You don't have to repeat them, but just the page number?
Page 266. A comment on 261 under general comments as well.
I think you're getting into an area, Councillor, where there's probably not sufficient detail in any of our policies. So, for example, there's a community engagement policy, which is great. Says that we ask people and we get stuff back. When community engagement is being presented in reports, it's very difficult, because if we were to cleanse reports of a number of derogatory comments, we suddenly start thinking, oh, everyone's quite, you know, got a different perspective than what we thought. On the other hand, if they're all included, some people might be offended at the references. Now, I don't think in the cases you've mentioned, we're talking about, for example, racist comments, but that could easily come up, couldn't it, in some other community consultation. So I suppose we're leaving it somewhat to the judgment of staff as they present these things to us.
Number and name, Your Worship.
Oh, sorry, I didn't see the
266.
Ah, yes. I did not expect to see an individual's name and phone number in the report. I would have thought, I don't know, do we have a privacy policy, Ms. McKenzie? No. So we don't. So there's nothing, in a sense, to direct staff not to do that, but you would hope that staff, out of respect, would not include those personal details.
Been removed in other consultation that we've received.
Yes.
And to be consistent, you wouldn't have that on there unless it was...
So, well, any comment from staff?
Yeah, through the chair, with respect to particularly page 266, the reference, that's collectively an oversight. We won't put that on any particular area, just say these reports get reviewed, and for consistency that will ensure a higher standard in the future.
Okay, I think that's it for questions. Has someone actually, I don't think we've had anyone move the motion yet. So, Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to move this. I'm a little bit unsure about how retailers are responsible. However, my mission on behalf of my community is to deal with the shopping trolleys. I do think the main focus should be on the perpetrators. They are literally stealing the shopping trolleys. However, it doesn't mean that retailers just sort of take a casual approach to this. I think they need to be straightened up, even if it is that they actually introduce a common approach like Audi, where you have a coin response. Believe it or not, some people are taking shopping trolleys on reliable data from a resident who provides me with a spreadsheet just about every day. People are taking Woolworths trolleys into Audi because they don't want to have to pay the money to get the shopping trolley. And there's a problem. So at Coralda Park, they had a system where they had a boundary where the wheels would lock up. I'm told that that's been taken away. I'm not sure whether that's true or not. But it's the same proprietor as the ones at Castle Plaza. But I have a view maybe during their development applications they should have that as part of their development application, to have that boundary, that peripheral boundary wheel locking device. Maybe we'll get to that with the planning department one day. But this is a big issue in the Warrakowie ward. We have Westfield Marion. It doesn't mean that there's not problems around Castle Plaza or around the shopping centre at, which is really Marion, but Oakland's estate. It's a problem probably around Hallett Cove as well. It's a problem in Port Augusta because there was hundreds of them fished out of the harbour there. So I commend this to your members to support this.
Thank you. And Councillor Lesko would like to second the motion.
Yes, please, Your Worship. I would like us to consider possible tracking devices on those trolleys. That was one of the suggestions that was in the report. I guess also I'd like us maybe to consider the time, whether we do 2 or 3 business days as opposed to 4 day-to-hours, or 2 to 3 trading days, just to allow for that. And I guess outside of this motion, I'd like to, through the intelligence gained by the inspectors during this process, see if we can provide some support, not us, but lining people up with an opportunity to get their groceries delivered. If someone hasn't got the capacity or the car and they need to get their groceries home, I have all sympathy for that. But when I see a trolley on payday stacked with cartons and that being wheeled into the suburbs and left there, probably don't have the same level of empathy that I do for genuine issues. We also got a letter from Trolley Tracker. I was following up an issue in Park Holm, and I believe that the council was in contact with Trolley Tracker, and after a couple of weeks, council went and removed it. So I don't know whether they're looking to change their name to Trolley Slacker, but I guess that was the impression that I got. So they have these systems in place, but they need to work. So I don't know whether we can actually amend to have 2 or 3 trading days and to have some sort of tracking device on the trolleys. Is that something that we can do, Your Worship?
There's a question there as well. Can staff assist?
Through the chair, yeah, the intent of the bylaw and the answer to that question is that it's upon the retailer to provide us with an option of a trolley containment system. So if that trolley containment system were to have a GPS tracking location, we would be supportive.
Days, that's just something I just have to ask the mover if they're happy to change. Instead of 48 hours, to have 2 to 3 full trading days or...
Of course, anything's possible.
I just wanted to know the staff response, because obviously they're going to administer whatever comes up. So,
through the chair, we'd need some advice on that as to whether that was a significant change enough to redraft the bylaw. And then reconsult, that's a possibility. We take that on notice, if that's okay.
It doesn't sound like a reconsultation. The only problem, Councillor Valescu, is that it would need some careful drafting to capture the intent that you're after, which would mean it probably wouldn't be good to proceed with it tonight if that's what you wanted to achieve.
Unless we increased it to 72 hours and then that gives an extra day and may allay some of those concerns, but it was a weekend.
So you're seconding the motion, but you're asking, that's certainly an option.
If the mover agrees and there's no huge objection from staff, but I'm not fussed either way.
Staff are indicating uncertainty, but we live with that. Councillor Hull, what's your view on such a proposal?
Hoping to get some guidance from staff. We may get...
Just while we're waiting...
Sort of phone a friend or
order,
something.
Order. Councillor Crossland, did you have a question?
It's a question which may assist, and it's a question to Mr. Manuel. If we were actually prosecuting and... In the circumstances that Councillor Valescu mentioned, the business was actually closed for 24 hours. Would your inspectors take that into consideration before considering enforcement?
So perhaps you could include that as part of your answer to Councillor Hull and Valescu.
Could I just get Councillor Hull to repeat his question, please?
The question is, what do administration think of replacing 48 with 72? In terms of the time that a retailer might have to collect a trolley.
Thank you, Your Worship. And just to clarify with the Chamber, the intent of the change of that would give the retailer an extra day, in effect, to respond.
Spot on.
In response then to Councillor Crossland's contribution. Our enforcement policy does give us the flexibility to take mitigating circumstances into consideration when applying that particular bylaw.
So just in terms of the impact on the process that we're following, if we move the motion as printed with an exception that essentially 48 be replaced with 72, does that present any problems that administration identify? You've mentioned one potential one of whether it would require the whole consultation process to begin again, but leaving that aside, any other problems?
Thank you, through the chair. Staff don't have a problem with that.
All right, Councillor Hull, where do you stand?
I'm happy to go along with the seconder's suggestion.
Okay, so with the approval of the mover and the seconder, and I suppose the leave of the meeting, the words as printed are there, but we have to add
Through the chair, if I may assist, section 5.2.1 of the bylaw be changed from 48 to 72 hours.
Well, that's it. If that could be formulated in some way on the screen. To be amended by replacing 48 hours with 72 hours. And then if we could just have quotes around the 48 hours and around the 72 hours, please. Thank you. Now, I've got Councillor Crossland with a question. I've got Councillor Valescu with something as well. We'll deal with your question first, Councillor Crossland.
It may not be necessary, but I'll foreshadow an amendment if this one goes through, because I think we should stick to the 48.
Right. Well, Councillor Valescu, you've made your contribution. What do you want to raise?
I just want to clarify that changing 48 to 72 will not have any problems at all with the consultation.
You've heard the responses, and you haven't got a definite response in relation to the consultation requirement. The mayor might take a different view, but administration are saying they can't tell you tonight. So it's a question on notice. Now, I have before we proceed in the debate, I do have a couple of questions to raise as well. I just can't locate it in the consultation pages and pages of consultation responses we have in front of us. But I thought that one of the retailers said that there would be a practical difficulty in putting specific identification on their trolleys. I mean, they're suggesting that they can put the name of the retailer, no problem, but because they're mass produced, that there would be a real practical and costly difficulty in putting something like address, phone number. So what's the staff response to that?
Through the chair, without finding the specific comment in the report this evening, staff are generally aware of some of the issues raised by the retailers in association with this bylaw, and have taken that into consideration in preparing the recommendations that are before you. My response would be that they would find a way that would be practical and cost effective to meet their obligations.
So they're saying it wouldn't, and you're just saying it would. Is that right, Mr. Delacombs?
That's my opinion, Your Honour, yes.
Okay. Your Worship will do. But The other one was the comment made by one of the retailers that coin deposit systems aren't generally effective. And I must say, anecdotally, I hear from people that they do find them effective. And as I understand it, we find less of a particular retailer's trolleys on the streets, and they have a coin deposit system. So what sense can administration make of the comment that coin deposit systems don't work in relation to trolleys?
Through the chair, I would support your anecdotal evidence with our anecdotal evidence that we do not find many of said retailers' trolleys on the street, and in our opinion, they do work.
Okay, so we've had a mover and a seconder giving retailers who have an appropriate system 72 hours to collect off the streets. Anyone speaking against or amending? If not, then I'll just put it to a vote. All those in favour? All those against? Carried by a majority. Thank you. So we go on with the process. Now, coming back to, for a moment, to the matters which Councillor Telfer moved on block, one that she left was on page 319, Corporate and CEO KPI report. So could I draw your attention to that, members? Councillor Telfer?
So I had a couple of questions about the sections in red.
Please go ahead.
Could we please have an explanation of number 8, the staff engagement, and whether that's a concern? And the other one in red, the one about renewables in red, off track.
Mr. Scull?
Thank you, Your Worship. The staff engagement, we're 1% below the core target of 75%. This is taken from the staff quarterly pulse survey that we put out to our staff members. The core target hasn't been met. We're working with leaders to, in each individual section, to understand what's going on. I can't tell you why staff seemed slightly below what we've been getting before. A result of 74% is still very good compared to the other organisations that use the pulse survey, but we've dipped just below the 75%. I'm hopeful. I don't feel any strong push from staff that their morale is dipping, but I'm hopeful the next pulse survey will be more positive. Excuse me.
The other question about the renewables on page 322.
Yeah, this is a project that's been run by Anne Gibbons, who was here before, and I wish she was still here, but it's been incorporated, as it says there, into the broader utilities program. That so it's the LED lighting, etc., and I would need to take that on notice to find out exactly why it's not on track.
So can we have an explanation of why something incorporated in a broader utilities program would go off track? I guess that's my question.
So I'll put that on a question with notice and get back to your next council meeting, if not before.
Thank you. So Councillor Telfer, apart from that, you're prepared to move the report? Moved. Is that seconded? Councillor Crossland. But did you wish to speak to it? I'll come back to questions from members in a moment.
No, just that I was jumping the gun. Is what I was looking at before is page 325, appendix 4, which I thought was in that last report. And my consideration of that 5-year rolling amount for total employee costs, so that we can see that the target in over a 5-year period is being met, because at the moment it's bouncing up and down, which I'm guessing is just how it falls with hiring and staff moving on, rather than a concerted effort of bouncing up and down.
So is that something that could be taken on board to add to that chart on Appendix 4? I must say it's a great improvement that we now get this chart as an indicator, but if we could have a 5-year average Probably shouldn't be too much trouble.
Easy.
And yep. Yeah, and possibly in a graph, always helpful. Now, questions, Councillor Hull.
Back to Councillor Telfer's concern on 322, the red area, renewables and energy efficiency. Like this is the same organisation that was talked about as being a leader only, you know, an hour or so ago. I would like to have some explanation for this, and I'm a bit concerned that when we're actually dealing with a CEO's performance review, the CEO starts talking about subordinates and why that subordinate wasn't here to explain away the deficiencies in the CEO's performance. I would like the CEO to take ownership of this, and I don't think it's a good look to refer to subordinates when this is your review, not her review.
I take that as a contribution in the debate as well, but Mr. Skull, what do you say?
I accept that, and I'll get an answer back to you, Councillor Hull.
And we'll put that on the question on notice register as well. Did you wish to contribute further, Councillor Hull?
From that, these two red areas, we've got a CEO performing well. But it'd be remiss of me, particularly on that issue of renewables and energy efficiency, not to hone in on that given the nature of the night and what we've just heard. It just adds substance to my broader concerns about the performance of the council.
Any other questions? Then I'll put them.
Question, Councillor Vlesko. I guess just because, could we have more clarity on the exceptions in future when we get the report? Because we get why there's a variation with the finance. I think it's important that it's made clear here. And if there's something that perhaps needs a bit more discussion that's best not, you know, put in the report, we can have that, you know, at least if the CEO's aware of it or someone's aware of it, then we can have that explained here.
I would agree that it's pretty hard for a board to understand the real reasons for a shortfall based on that cryptic comment in the report.
I'm not sort of out there with a conspiracy theory or anything like that. I'm not overly concerned. I'd expect the CEO to be doing everybody else's job. And if the job's allocated to a specialist, obviously they're the people that we have to ask and get the information from. But if we had a little bit more, it just makes it easier to do our job.
Right, Mr. Skull.
I agree, Councillor Vlesko. This is a good point, and we'll provide more information for those exceptions in the future.
Okay, any more questions? Then put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? Carried unanimously. Thank you. So, on to page 326, Spinnaker Circuit Reserve East. Now, I must say, Councillor Duncan, there are a couple of potential permutations with this one. So perhaps if we start off with you moving the motion, but perhaps I could ask you, do you wish us to suspend standing orders to talk about the issue, first of all, of people's views on the value at which land could be sold? I can see that's one issue that is in there. And the other one about whether there should be a path through if it was to be sold. It's entirely up to you. If you want to move the motion as is, that's fine.
So that we could discuss it, and I have quite a few things to say as well on this subject.
Fair enough. So I'll take that as a motion to suspend standing orders. Is that seconded? Councillor Schilling. All those in favour? All those against? It's carried unanimously. Thank you. Do you want to set the scene then, if you've had further thoughts about it? If you could succinctly do that. Thank you.
I will try. Just to set the scene, Matt and I have been involved in this process for some time, right from the beginning, working with the staff and the school for a satisfactory outcome for all. I just need to highlight that Spinnaker East Reserve has no plans, there's no plans for playground or irrigation. It's a dust bowl in summer. And there's plenty of open space to the south and east of this reserve. I'm going to assume that everybody's read what is in the rescission motion and just go to some of the comments that have been made to me over the last couple of weeks. One of the suggestions was to lease the top section to the school for 40 years. This had option has many flaws as far as I'm concerned. At the end of the time, there will be two options to actually for the school to give it back to us or the school to buy it. If the school buys it, we might as well sell it to them now so that they've got the security of doing what they want to that section, that part of the reserve. The other part is that if they decide that they don't want it and give it back to us, the cost of removing everything that they've done is even more costly to the council. So for me, to sell the this land so that the school can actually put in the parking area to relieve the stress of the congestion of the cars, bikes and people traffic. The other question was about price. Somebody wanted commercial price for this. This is something that is not in the school's, they can't afford a commercial price. But when we look at the motion passed in January 2000 on Tuesday, the 28th of January 2020, we passed a motion, and it's on page 30, by the way. It states in this new motion that we would seek to dispose of land at or above a current market value. And at the moment, it is valued at community land. So the community price would be what we should be offering to the school. And I'm sure at this stage that the school would actually offer above the community price if we ask it, because it's important to them.
Councillor Duncan, it sounds very much like you're speaking to the motion.
Oh, probably. And,
yeah, and what I'm trying to do at the moment is identify some of the key issues where there might be divided opinion. Now, the two that I can pick out of that, one is if I focus on page 327.5A, where it talks about the objective of selling the land, the words at the community land value, the question is whether they should be included, as you wish, or deleted, which, and if they were deleted, it would leave our current disposal of land policy and the reference on page 326 to maximising financial outcome to council. So all I'm doing, I'm not saying should be either way, I'm just identifying possible division of opinion. And the other one that hasn't...
I'm confused where you're looking, because there is no 5A.
There is on my page.
There's a 6A.
It goes 6, and then it goes 5, and then it goes 3. All right?
Yes, right.
Now, perhaps you were rather expecting consecutive numbering, but
sorry,
it does, there is a 5A
yes,
on
right.
page 327.
Apologies.
Thanks for offering the opportunity to clarify. Now, the other issue that is probably more from last time than what you've just said, Councillor Duncan, there was talk of a path through the reserve. Nothing in your motion there about that, but that is something that we could test the waters on. 6B.
Yeah.
Ah, yes, it is there.
It is there.
Yeah. First 6. Yes, so at the moment that's in there.
Yes.
But I think that's another one where it would be interesting to test the waters. And then I'll come back to you, Councillor Duncan, as to whether there's anything else you wish to test the waters with before formally moving your motion. So people know the issues. We had actually a very lengthy discussion about the option when we dealt with it in January. But now, the question of whether that there seems to be no issue about if there's going to be sale of reserve to general public on the southern side, there doesn't seem to be any issue about that. But as to whether a portion of the reserve should be sold to the school for either residential value or community land value, can I just have a show of hands? Who supports the community land value proposition? Who supports the commercial land or residential land value proposition? All right, that's pretty evenly divided. Who supports the idea of a path being left through if it is sold? Who doesn't? All right, most people are. I think most people don't, but anyway. Councillor Clancy, do you have a question?
Of that southern area being sold to developers, because I'm not sure yet. Oh no, Chris just mentioned that he thought that everyone was supporting.
Okay, no, I didn't put the question, but let's sound people out on that. In terms of, leave aside the school's parking needs, can I test people's view on whether the southern, I guess the majority of the reserve should be sold off? What's people's opinion? Yes or no? Who thinks yes, it's acceptable to explore, and who doesn't? Right. So just, yeah. To sell it off. Yeah. So most people seem to be in favour of that. I counted 13 hands go up. So. Anyway, most people are in favour of selling that off, and I understand that to be at residential value, not community land value. So, Councillor Duncan, is there any other issue that you want me to test before you move your motion? And then other members need to consider, if they feel strongly about a variation of that, then they can move an amendment. Councillor Valescu's got a question. All right, you okay, Councillor Valescu, to move on? Yep, Councillor Crossland. In a sense, you can with an easement, or you can just reserve a piece of land. Mr. Haridis?
Through the chair, there's probably a few options. An easement, we might require a land management agreement with other terms with respect to what's required for the property. So there'd probably be more than one option on how that could be executed.
Thank you. It was just lastly, I was just thinking of just continuing what I was saying. I think the community want the land to be sold to the school, and I support their wish, and I would like a suitable outcome for the school, the community, and the council. And this selling, it's doing what we have in the motion actually provides all of that.
You've got another minute and a half.
I spoke most of it before.
And notice that you've got the rescission motion and your motion boiled into one. So if your motion is passed, the previous is rescinded, and you have a replacement motion in effect.
Yes.
If the motion is lost, then the previous
package is due.
Yes.
Just to clarify that.
Yes.
Is that seconded, Councillor Sheridan?
think it's a no-brainer that I would second this motion. Yes, just briefly, look, I know it came to council in December, and this rescission motion Maggie and I worked on while I was away. I think we're just concerned that with the previous motion that was passed, that at the end of the five-year lease, the school has no idea what's going to go on. They're going to put gravel down and make a car park that's dusty, and we're going to get more complaints from residents. So we are of the opinion, and from what I remember of the consultation, the community was not overly upset with the idea of selling a portion or all of the land. So I think we are listening to our community. We've had residents raise it with us going, we're happy for you to sell it. The land currently does not have any park, playground, anything on it. It is surplus to council's needs and has been identified in previous reports to council's needs. It doesn't even appear on our park watering systems matrix. So it's a non-existent piece of land according to our parks matrix. So I think it's worth us selling it. Look, if it doesn't go at community value, I'm happy to amend the motion if need be and sell it at a residential cost. I think the school can meet us at a more valuable, higher value, especially when they were looking at the whole land being at 560 potentially at community value. They could come to 560 at a residential land for that piece of land or a little bit more. So I commend them.
Say that we're getting into confidential matters, and if we're going to go further down that track, I'd be seeking a motion that we go into confidence. But
sure.
You keep going.
Sure, no worries. Look, I'm happy to move as written, and I think this is what the community have been asking for.
Anyone speaking against or offering an amendment?
An amendment, please, Your Worship.
Yes, what's
it's,
that?
It's going to be a bit... it's more deleting certain sections. We'll go to 6A can go, 6B can go. Is it the first or second number five? Hang on. And the second number five can go. And other than that, I'll leave it as is, I believe.
Now, I'm just considering that because we may want to break that up into more than one amendment. Yes.
Would it be possible to actually move it as a rescission motion first and then move into sections? Because the rescission motion, I've got a feeling, would get support and we can move that, get rid of that.
Interesting. Well, that's one reason why I was interested in engaging support before we went into it, because... but it wasn't clear cut. We don't want to get into the position where we're rescinding the earlier motion but having no replacement. I'll ask Ms. McKenzie, any advice?
Through the chair, council can just move the rescission motion if it wants to, but in fairness and in accordance with what the mayor said, he's right. If we haven't got a clear direction in regards to what we are replacing it with, there will be no decision on the table at all.
Theoretically, if there was a rescission, but then nothing was resolved in terms of Councillor Duncan's intentions, amended or otherwise, we could move again the January motion. As
yes,
a default.
You could do that, yeah.
So it's almost too late. That's the problem. Because if somebody's going to move an amendment to gut the content and leave it as a rescission motion, it's really contrary to the motion that's been moved and seconded. So I think we're stuck with it. Now, the only question I'm still considering as chair is whether that should be broken into two amendments. Can I just ask councillors, does anyone else have an amendment in mind? Not a question, but an amendment.
I have a procedural motion in mind.
All right, Councillor Pryor, that you've trumped me. Go ahead.
I'd like to defer this item to the next council meeting, please.
Is that seconded? No, it's not up for debate. Anyone seconding? Last chance. Seconded by Councillor Clancy. Those who wish to put this to the next meeting, raise your hand. Those against? No, that fails, so we'll carry on. So my question to other members, this is just to help resolve this issue, and it is a complex issue because there are so many permutations. Does anyone else actually have an amendment they're about to put? If not, we're allowed two amendments. So I'll see what Ms. McKenzie thinks of this, but I'm thinking that Councillor Crossland's amendments might be best put as two separate amendments because they actually have quite different implications. Ms. McKenzie?
Councillor Crossan, can you just repeat the second part of what you wanted removed?
So what I was looking at removing, just trying to go through the different, well, the same numbers, different. So number six to stay.
But you're going to take out A and
A,
B.
But take out A and B.
Okay. Then over the page.
And over the page, the new, the set, well, we've got another number five, can all...
Right, the new, all of the new number five goes.
Can go. But is what I want to do, to make it clear, is that I... And then you've got a new number three there, which would be number whatever it is now. Now this actually, the old number three actually says negotiate to enter into a lease, so I've got a feeling that's actually incorrect in the first motion as well. Because this is all about sale, not leasing, so I'm not sure why that number three is in there.
Can Mr. Lyons, can you advise?
I suspect that the last three might need to be a number eight or whatever it's going to be, but the intent of that is to look at a 12-month lease only to get us through any sale period. So they would like to lease the land for short-term parking, and that last clause would allow that to happen.
So it's to get them through the school year because you know council processes plus the consultation, quite properly so. It will take us a year probably to get there.
And just, and sorry I'm doing this, Worship.
No, you're right.
A bit last minute, but just to get it clear, I still want to support Councillor Duncan and Schilling's intent that there is an option to split the reserve. Is that still captured? So it's not all sold in one lump sum, which then makes it extremely difficult for the school to buy it. So I just want to endorse the fact that that is available for a splitting option.
May I suggest to you that on the top of page 327, all you need to do, rather than delete the entire number five, as it is to take out the words at the community land value.
Yeah.
Because that would leave you with an objective, not mandatory, but an objective of selling a portion to the school. And the values picked up by the earlier clauses and subdividing the remaining land. I don't think that means council has to do it, and I hope they don't, but I think it's really what you're telling me is your intention is as simple as deleting at the community land value.
Yeah, I'm happy with that. So as long as we're still clear, we would like the school to maybe buy a section of that land. It's just the way in which we sell it.
Right. So is that a point of order, Councillor Hull? Question, all right.
In understanding that
I think we're doing
the school and others will be buying this land at commercial rate.
That's the intent. the intent of Councillor Crossland's amendment. Okay. Now, my Councillor Crossland, my recommendation is, I haven't heard of others with amendments, so I recommend to you, just for the orderly disposition of business, that you move two separate amendments, and I'll give you leave to obviously speak twice in the debate if that's what I have to do, but the path issue is quite different from the commercial value issue. So if you'd like to move that A and B be deleted,
yes,
then we'll deal with that. First. And I will come back to you for a second amendment. So I think we've got the amendment. Just make sure that it's captured. They're not, yeah, that's right. They're the ones that are left after the deletion.
Yes, that's
yeah. Right. So.
So are we moving, what part are we moving down to here?
There's something about, you've got, see, yeah, that's right. So okay. The old five comes next, that's right. So at the moment, that's what's on the screen is correct, I believe. But the C and D become A and B in 6. So, Councillor Crossan, can you just deal with that issue? Why do you tell us why you want to delete those two aspects?
Thank you, Worship. So, look, whether the land is sold as a whole or is actually bought half by the school or half not, I think it's going to make it a lot more complicated for council and for staff and for the school if we start dictating what they do on the land when they buy it. If they buy that portion of land that's currently got the path goat track running through it, whether they decide that a path is appropriate, I think is probably a matter for the school, because it will be them that has to look after it, safety of children, maintenance. It may be that they don't want to build a specific path. They might just have a car park with no designated path in that place. And the second one, where it says maximise the community benefit in terms of parking and easing traffic, well, really, again, that is a decision for the person that buys the land. We are aware that the school is growing and causing more traffic issues. If they choose to use that land for car parking and create better parking in that community, that's a decision for them. I think it's going to be very difficult for us to keep stipulating what they use their own land for. And that's the reason I just want to take that out. And also, if the school doesn't buy the land, I don't think the new owner is going to be maximising traffic congestion and putting a footpath in.
All right, is that seconded, Councillor Schilling? You can't, because you were a seconder. Anyone else seconding? Councillor Mason, thank you. Did you wish to speak? Anyone? Oh, no. So, with the amendment, I put the amendment immediately. And so I'll ask you to vote. All those in favour of the amendment, raise your hand. All those against the amendment, that's carried by majority. So we now have an amended motion. But as I foreshadowed, I'll leave it with Councillor Crossland. Councillor Crossland, we're in the middle of something here. Would you like to move a procedural motion that we extend the meeting to finalise this issue?
I do, can I just confirm with staff that there's no time-sensitive issues in the remaining items that we should include? Or should we just, because otherwise I'll just move to the end of this item.
They're elected members' items. How important can they be? You did ask staff. Who would like to answer? Nothing pressing.
In that case, I'd like to move an extension of time just to the end of this item, please.
Is that seconded? Councillor Valescu. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried. So, Councillor Crossland, it's with you to move your second amendment. You wish to delete the words at the community land value, and that would have the effect, in conjunction with the rest of the motion, of selling all of the reserve off with a maximum financial outcome to council.
Thank you, Worship. Yes, that's the amendment I'd just like to make on the rest of what is already written in front of elected members. The reason for this is I treat the school as any other business, except for unlike other businesses, the school doesn't pay any council rates because it's an education facility. I did a quick Google. One of the richest businesses in the world is the Catholic Church, of which this school is part of. And I think at last count, Catholic Church in Australia is worth $30 billion. I think it's a bit rich saying they can't afford that little bit of land in Shido Park. The other thing, which is joking aside, the real reason is we moved a motion to get the best value for our residents when we dispose of an asset. I think anything less than that doesn't pass the pub test for me. It doesn't matter whether it's Woolworths we're selling it to or the next door neighbour to that land. I think we owe it to the residents. It's not an asset for Shido Park or Coastal. It's all our council areas. That's owned by every resident. And I think if we can go to them and say, we put it on the market, it went out for tender, this is who bought it, I've got no problem. If the school gets it cheap, good play to them. Maybe more valuable to them than anyone else. So we did debate it in January. My opinion was that we put that decision to bed with that motion and we would get best market value for anything we sold. So that's why I'm putting this amendment to make it clear. I don't think it meets any other test that we should be giving it away.
Is that seconded? Councillor Hull, wish to speak?
Mr Mayor, I hesitate often with disposing of open space, but down that way there's, compared to up here, there's an abundance of open space. And I'm familiar with the area and there's a school there that could make good use of that land, I get that. They were here and they did a presentation at one point. I understand that completely. And this is all subject to a consultation, and we'll wait to hear what the community has got to say about this. The issue of having a different rate for a developer or the school, I also get that. I don't think there should be any difference. It is a business. If you don't pay fees, you cannot send your kids there. It is a business, just like a lot of aged care facilities. It's a business as well, and I don't think we should have a double standard. And isn't it an interesting analogy that you see in the motion that we actually maximise the gain for the council? Well, you can't do that if you're actually going to have a double standards in terms of land value, you know. So even I think. Even it was mentioned before that if he had his way, he could change that to a commercial rate. Well, that's what we've got now. So I think that this looks equitable, and it does actually mean we're serious about getting the most gain for the council from the sale of the land. And so we should. It's a council asset. We have a responsibility to get as much as we can for the land. Once we sell it, we won't get it back. It's part of the silverware, and we must make sure we get as much as we can for it on behalf of our community. So I'm happy to proceed with this, but above all, see what the community thinks about it. If the school cries poor, I'm sorry. Well, you know, you'd find the money, but you know, it's got to be fair, and it's got to pass the pub test. That's how I see it.
Moved and seconded, we immediately go to a vote on the amendment. All those in favour, please raise your hand. All those against, please raise your hand. That's carried by majority. And now anyone who hasn't yet spoken in the debate may speak. There being no one, Councillor Duncan, it's for you to close the debate with the amended motion.
I don't have anything further to say, thanks.
Now the motion as amended, all those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. The motion is carried by an absolute majority. And so the rescission is effective and the new motion stands. Thank you, members. And Councillor Crossland, the Mayor's heart is always warmed when you take a whole of council approach. It's delightful. I declare the meeting closed. Thank you.